Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, where you'll discover the secrets to ignite the growth of your agency.
Cash communication, content and conversion. This market response plan is designed to put you in control of your financial and business health. Because when you feel like you're in control, you portray confidence.
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at AJHQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day.
Best of all, it's free.
Here are your hosts, Sam and Phil.
Your market response plan, spring 2024. That makes it sound like I'm going to do one every quarter.
I might have to, you know.
I feel like I've set us up for this. It was definitely a collaborative effort. I do the writing. Phil's the genius ideas guy, aren't you? So he tells me.
Sometimes.
Not today, because he's feeling a little bit flat. But at least he hasn't been moaning about it all day.
So what's this plan in response to?
It's a response to the market. And that's why I called it your market response plan. I'm going to tell you where to get hold of one of these plans at the end of this podcast episode. The reason behind us creating this was because the market is tough. It was tough all last year. It was tough a little bit the year before. It's definitely tough this year. We're recording this in April 2024. And I've just been reading a few sort of doom and gloom articles about how lots of agents have gone out of business. I think that's probably one of the reasons why the self-employed model has taken off a little bit, because it's much lower risk, it's much lower overheads, and some agents that are out there have really struggled over the last 12 to 18 months, haven't they, with the cost of, well, even bringing a property to market has been a real challenge to fund when nothing is selling.
Yeah, I wasn't really listening to what you're saying, because I was thinking about...
We like to be truthful on this podcast, don't we?
Not too truthful. I was thinking about the Not on the Market letter we've just written, and how the last week has actually gone against a lot of what it said. So especially in our Dale's office, anything we put on just gets loads of views and sells. It's a quality of stock challenge over there. Not as much in the Lakes, but a lot of what is in the letter is talking about how tough it's been and how we're expecting a good spring, not actually that we're starting to see it. So we're going on holiday tomorrow, but I should probably write an update.
More positive.
Yeah. Because the market temperature we gauge it on there, I think, is 6.5, but actually it's quite a lot hotter than that in the Dales.
I like the idea of a market response sort of temperature gauge. We'll come on to that actually in a minute, because we're going to talk about content and what you should and possibly shouldn't share with your audience. So I feel like I should have put an index in the market response plan, but we're talking about four things.
What's the difference between an index and contents?
Index is usually at the back and contents at the front.
Yeah.
So contents page will be at the front. And index is a reference. Thank you for that, Alessand. It's only about 5 pages, this whole plan. In the plan, we talk about the 4 C's that we think are absolutely critical to focus your time, effort, and money on. And ironically, the first one is cash. So we're going to go through them one at a time, but cash, communication, content, and conversion. And they handle it. All start with the letter C to help you remember them. And what we suggest is you stick these on your wall, or you make yourself like a little tick list of them, something that allows you to keep yourself to account while you're going through this tough time and allows you to make progress through it. Because you might be in an area that's seeing lots of viewings and you might be thinking, well, why am I listening to this episode? And I would agree with you. But you might also be in an area where viewers are tough, vendors are disappointed and despondent, they're starting to jump ship because they don't know what else to do. You're telling them either to drop the price and then it doesn't work, or you're telling them not to drop the price and then what else can they do? So they're feeling a little bit powerless, which is making you feel powerless, and it has an effect on your team and everybody else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's first start talking about cash. And what I've said in the report is it's so important to know your numbers right now. And if you haven't already, create a cash flow forecast. Now, we've talked about cash flow forecasts, haven't we, quite a lot on the podcast. Why do you think a cash flow forecast right now is so critical?
I think a cash flow forecast is critical at any time. It's obviously especially important when the market's not quite as strong, because when the market's strong, then you get away with it because you'll be banking money that in the positive, you'll be, you know, you're almost guaranteed to make a profit in a good market, and therefore you should always be in the green. But you still, even in a good market, you need to know what you're spending and what you can afford to spend. But in a tough market, you need to know on a day-to-day basis what's leaving the bank account, what needs to be delayed, what's coming in. Because once you get in a slight hole, it's quite difficult to get out of it. And we're in an industry where you can't just go, right, let's put a sale on, or what can we do today to get extra cash in the bank? It's quite difficult to react, even within a six-month period. So that's why we do our cash flow forecast in 6 months in advance, because that's how much time you need to make any changes.
Yeah, because you can make a change today that you don't feel the effect of. Well, we're recording this in April. It could be December before we feel.
Yeah, yeah, and in a market like this, certainly in the lakes, where how many have got on the market?
48 and 7 coming.
48, more than 7 coming. Come on, 20 coming.
Means?
I don't know, but 7's way off market.
And actually, this is probably 2 weeks ago. This
yeah, so probably got 50 on the market, let's say, in the lakes. A lot of that won't come in the next 6 months. And if we put a home live today, as the market is, the chance of it landing in the bank in the next 6 months is probably 20%. So if every 5 properties we put on the market, let's say one's going to land in 6 months, that's not a lot of cash to go through. So yeah, it's just important to keep an eye on those figures. So 6 months is what we say. And I know that feels heavy to a lot of people, but that's where we think we can react. And even we track it for 12 months to see where we are.
I think also a lot of agents or business owners might only do, if they do a cash flow forecast every month or every fortnight or sometimes every week. We actually check our cash every day.
Most don't do it at all.
Yeah, it's a bit scary, isn't it? How do you know? How do you know when you're going to run out of money?
Do you think it's a lack of knowledge / skill, or do you think it's not wanting to know?
I think those two are the same thing, because if you don't want to know, you won't develop the skill. So you've got to have a motivation to want to know.
Sometimes I don't look, so I don't want to know.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then we get a couple of sales in a day and I'm all over it.
But yeah, just because you don't look doesn't mean say it's not happening.
Though. No, someone looks, but if not had a sale in a while, I actively avoid looking, especially if I want to buy something.
I had a conversation with Edward yesterday about the fact that because we're doing the cash flow daily, we ran out of money in one of our accounts because a completion hadn't shown up in the account. So if you had been looking at a week or, even worse, a month, you go, well, I'm okay that month, but you're not okay on that day.
No.
And what's going to happen if you can't pay something like payroll? So we have a triage of what we prioritize. So, for example, payroll obviously has to come first, and all the sort of ancillary expenses around tax, HMRC, payroll expenses, all those kind of things, that all comes first. And then of all our direct debits, because, well, got no choice yet. They just all come out. And then we pay anybody who's got a small local business, so a small local supplier who is not VAT registered, and they're next in our line. And then it's the small local suppliers that are VAT registered, and we work down the list like that. And people like British Gas, they even a thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They get our money last, if at all. Okay, that's the first step then, a cash flow forecast. Next one, we're still under cash. Do an expenses audit. So we did this, I think, last January. We probably should do another one, although I think Edward's really on it now, making sure their expenses are really tied down. And we saved something like £24,000 a year, I think, within about a 6-week period. Remember, we just went through all our expenses, what we're paying this for, why we're paying that. And what we'd realized was the cash flow forecast had actually got really out of date because we'd subscribed to new things or committed to new expenses that just weren't in the forecast.
Yeah, and also within that, don't trust an accountant or your bookkeeper that every VAT return is done correctly. We found thousands there as well.
God, yeah, so annoying. Even when we corrected one, the next VAT return would come in and it would be wrong again. So now we do our own VAT returns.
Yeah, so even if you check sort of 10 to 20 every month, and if you find a few incorrect, then just go through it all. Like, I know it's quite time consuming, but if it's worth 1,000, good use of your time.
Well, the VAT return we put in for the 7th of Feb was the first VAT return we've ever done that I've not made any changes to. And it's because Edward's properly on it.
Mm.
So well done, Edward. So that's the expense audit. So for example, some of the things that surprised us were that Amazon wasn't actually that cheap. So we've been buying from Amazon for years, haven't we? And not going to one of the main stationery suppliers like, I don't know, Viking. Yeah. And now we've realized that actually they're cheaper.
Mm.
So you might be thinking, well, I knew that. Well, we didn't. And so when we're through all our expenses, we were able to really justify each one. And this is what I'd ask yourself. If you were starting again, would you commit to all these expenses on a monthly basis? Are they the suppliers you would use? You know, when you first start, you've got the entrepreneurial kind of lean startup approach to your business. And you're probably going to make much better financial decisions when you first start. When you're 7 years down the line, like we are, it's really easy to get complacent. Oh, we're paying out this for that and this for that. We were on a plan with Wistia to host our videos that suddenly shot up to $500 a month because they changed the way they charged and we had a ton of videos on there. And it was 2 months before we realized and we're able to just strip down the plan and go on to a cheaper plan. We'd miss the emails. We just hadn't audited. So an expense audit is really, really important. Invest in business building. So I've added onto the plan. There's a big difference between cancelling software subscription you haven't used for a year and deciding to stop marketing your business. I was reading one of Chris Watkins' LinkedIn posts the other day, and one of the agents he'd been talking to said, well, it's a bit lean at the moment, so I've stopped doing any outreach of any kind.
Mm.
And that is business killing, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The challenging thing about a market like this, any tough market, is you try and protect what you've got. So the first things you stop are anything that you deem not to be necessary to keep your day-to-day business open, which is marketing. The problem is you're cutting off your lifeline, your future source of income. Mm-hmm. And whilst your competitors will definitely be cutting their marketing budget right now, it's a really difficult decision to go, actually, this is the time to double down on it. And this is the time where you look to try and take over other businesses and purchase other businesses and acquire maybe more lets or more offices or whatever it may be. It's the time to steal more listings using different methods.
Because they're cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap to pick up at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about when the COVID market, imagine you knew that was coming. What would you have done in 2019 to prepare for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you knew everything you had on the market was going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You would have gone to town in 19, wouldn't you, to get every single listing because you knew it was worth whatever your average fee is for every single time you get a listing.
It's pretty plus cash, more, really.
Yeah. Now, I don't expect that exact market to be around the corner, but there's going to be a good market that will land at some point.
It doesn't stay, as some of you know, they've been around for nearly as long as I have. It doesn't stay like this for long. You know, even in the recession years, it was like this for about 2-3 years max, and then it regained momentum. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, you're back in the boom market again, because nature abhors a vacuum. So therefore, it's always bear or bull, isn't it? It's always boom or bust. There's never any kind of middle ground. And actually, when we opened, was probably the closest to a middle ground that I've seen for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, when we opened, that seemed like the best market, because it was when you could take it off of their agents, make some tweaks and sell them. Whereas now, it's either they're selling really quick or you take them off the range and they don't struggle to move. So it's, yeah.
So I suppose what we're saying is you have to watch your expenses, of course, and you have to make sure you don't run out of cash, but don't cut marketing. That is a hugely important expense and a hugely important investment. And even if you have to hand deliver your letters or whatever it is you have to do to make sure you're doing it the cheapest possible way, as long as it's still effective, you just have to just do it. You have to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so that's number one, cash. Number two, communication. How are you showing up right now? What's your physical and emotional energy like? It's quite hard, isn't it, to keep your physical and emotional energy high when nothing's selling and you've got to communicate with your team, communication. I'm going to be talking about communicating with your team and communicating with your clients as well. I think that if you show up at a low energy, they can only show up at that energy or less.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, your lack of energy is contagious.
Yeah. Something I probably underappreciated is that there's a strong job role of being chief motivator. When everything's selling, it's fairly, you don't really have to do much motivating, do you?
No, because the sales are the motivator.
Yeah. When you've had a week where nothing sold and you sit in the meeting and you say, what's the wins? And everyone sort of looks at each other. They're the times you've got to keep people positive.
But I think it's only part of the business, isn't it? Because Tom's still motivated and excited because he's listing homes.
Yeah.
Really beautiful homes, and we're building up some really good stuff.
Yeah, but there must be some frustration for him that if he keeps listing them and they're not selling.
Yeah, it must be, but he's doing his job, which is important.
Right? Yeah.
And that's about knowing the numbers, isn't it, and the metrics.
Yeah.
Quick question. Would you like the chance to come and see behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones, here in the beautiful Lake District? To have a look at all our systems and processes and meet the team and go away with ideas, motivated and fired up to put your plans into action? Well, great news. If you just go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day, which stands for behind the scenes, you'll see exactly how to book on to our next behind the scenes day here at Ashdown Jones. Best of all, it's free.
I've got a quote here from Ryan Holiday, who wrote an amazing book called The Obstacle is the Way. Have you read that book or listened to it? What do you think of it? Remember?
It was one of those books where once you got over chapter one, I understood.
You were
it.
Done.
I was done. Like the one thing.
Sorry, Ryan, if you're listening to this.
Once you know.
The one thing.
Once you know the idea behind the one thing.
In fact, all you need to do is read the title.
I was out of there. Yeah.
He says, we choose how we look at things, how we approach, view and contextualize an obstacle. And what we tell ourselves it means determines how daunting and trying it will be to overcome. So in other words, the perception of the obstacle is only as big as your perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
So perception is reality. Big obstacle, big challenge, isn't it?
Yes.
So what we're talking about really is showing up strong, showing up positive, making sure that we're not bringing the team down.
Just being conscious of it.
Yeah.
You can wear your cash flow forecast quite heavy on your face.
On your face, yeah.
Yeah.
So when you communicate with your team, if they're feeling uncertain, then one of two things can happen. They can just stop showing up at their best possible self, or they can decide to leave and go to a company that feels more positive or successful, whatever. You know, it's rats jumping from a sinking ship, isn't it? Have you heard of that before?
Wow.
Just, you laughed as if I wasn't calling our team rats, just so you know, Jenna.
Or as a sinking ship.
Or as a sinking ship. We're not sinking. They're not rats. So forget that analogy completely. And the other aspect of communication is communicating with clients.
Yeah, so, which is more important now than it is in a strong market.
They're spending a lot of time, aren't they, our team, on the phone to clients. Yeah. And it's hard to know what to say again and again and again.
Yes.
Because actually the hardest piece of advice that we're giving out is wait it out.
Yeah, patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what you don't want to do is waste your price drop potential opportunity in a quiet market, because you still don't get anywhere. And then once you drop the price once, that's when you sort of out of chips.
It's supposed to be an interest booster.
Yeah.
If there's not enough interest, it's not going to boost. Yes. It's got to be something that boosts, isn't it? Okay. This kind of leads on to content, which is a third C, which is a form, obviously, of communication. But the kind of content that we need to be putting out is content that reassures, content that keeps us top of mind, the idea of this too shall pass. You've got no competition, because if your competitors are not communicating positively or at all right now, then you'll stand out for all the right reasons. And you've seen as a thought leader, because you're the one that is being authoritative and professional when buyers and sellers are both seeking expert guidance, because a buyer doesn't want to overpay in this market. So you can understand why they're cautious. And the sellers are feeling a little bit affronted and a little bit fearful of what's going to happen around the corner.
Yeah.
So our content needs to speak to that, doesn't it?
Yes.
So we've talked about sharing up market updates, which we've done recently. In fact, we actually had a team meeting where we asked the team for feedback on how we're doing as a business and what we could do to improve. And one of our very newest team members, Kieran, said, actually, I think we should be responding to the market and market news and updates more, well, quicker and more assertively by telling our audience being our local homeowners,
yeah,
what we think of the market. And I think that was a good shout, really.
So it was following the budget. And the reason why we didn't jump straight on camera is because the not on the market layer had all that content in.
But, yeah.
Yeah, you don't lose anything by doing both. Yeah.
No, and not everybody reads it on the market letter.
What?
So market updates, really important. We also send out the not on the market letter every quarter. And we update it as and when necessary. So if something happens, remember a couple of years ago when we had more prime ministers in three weeks than even, I don't know, a developing country, then we had to keep updating. I think we were on like version 6 by the time we came to the end of that quarter.
It was when, is it Kwarteng? Is that his name? did his budget and
all went wrong.
Just, and then he left and then someone else came in and then what was her name? She left. Yeah.
It was a mess, wasn't it? And so we also do something called Ask AJ. So every Wednesday, somebody from the team, usually a pair, goes on camera and talks about either something like, I don't know, the weather and how that's affecting photo shoots, or what's selling right now, or just advice based on questions that are being asked by buyers or sellers. And then every now and again, probably about every 6 weeks, Phil and I jump on and we generally do a market update. And that means that we're being as transparent and as authoritative as we can be. And even though sometimes we argue on camera, which is, well, nothing new there, really. The last C is conversion. And I think this is probably, for me, the most important one. Because you can convert marketing to evaluations in this market because they're much easier, one, than they would have been in a market where everything's selling. And so why should anybody pay 1.5%? And why does anybody need a brochure and all the rest of it that we do? So I get that. Valuations for instruction, same thing. Because we can sell a good story and we can not necessarily promise the earth, but people can see that we are selling houses because we've got market share in 500 and above. It's the instructions to completed sales that's the challenge right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no point in having loads of instructions on your books if you can't actually convert those to cash in the bank. That's the point of our business. In fact, a few weeks ago, we put some banners up on a new development we were marketing, and somebody put on Facebook, Ashton and Jones, we're only in it for the money. No, we're a charity. Yes, of course, we're in it for the money. It's a business. And if we're in it just for the money, there's probably easier businesses to run. But ultimately, we have to make a profit, and so do you. Otherwise, there'll be no business, no wages, no supporting local suppliers, and no making some local homeowners very happy. So if the point of what we're trying to do is get to a completed sale, that has to be on your radar. You have to have a process that you follow, and you keep following it until you get a completed sale.
Yes, agreed.
So we've talked about... See, your mind was churning.
Yeah, it sounds pretty obvious, but I actually don't think it is, that you should all, as businesses, every business should have KPIs, key performance indicators. You should know how many vows you need, how many instructions you need, how many sales you need within a time period, week, month, whatever it may be. It's never been more important to focus on hitting those numbers. I was having a call with one of our masterminders last week. What I was trying to get them to understand is that I think I've got 60 odd clients, if you hold yourself responsible for all those 60 clients and try and communicate with them, try and make sure that they love you and your company, that is a lot of emotional energy you're spending. The alternative is to think of it as numbers. And yes, it goes against the message about we care and all of that, but it is a business. You can still care and treat it as a numbers game. So if you're getting the number of instructions you need and that's leading to a certain number of pops on the market, that should lead to a number of sales that you've measured. You don't need to hold the weight of 60 odd clients. You should just treat it as a numbers game. Keep measuring the numbers. And if you've worked it out correctly, that should lead to a profitable business rather than focusing all your energy on your current clients and making sure they're 100% happy and they love you. It's more important to keep refreshing the stock and keep the marketing.
Besides, some of their unhappiness isn't related to us.
No.
It's related to a market condition we can't do anything about. And by trying to fix it, you're just causing yourself stress.
Yeah, and they were saying that when someone leaves, it really hurts. It used to really hurt. It hurts us, but the time you could have spent potentially saving that person, which you probably can't, you could have had 4 or 5 instructions and sold for them. So, if you've got clear KPIs and you measure them and you're hitting them all, that is the way to profitable business rather than spending a lot of your time in the weeds trying to make sure every single client is 100% happy.
Yeah, completely agree.
Probably not the advice that most people would give.
I think it's sensible advice, though, because if we had, 20 branches, then in order to look after our team, we're going to have to give that advice. When you've got one branch, or even more intense, when you're a solo operator, you just spend your whole time thinking about those clients. And if somebody goes and you've only got 6 homes on the market,
it's
going to keep you awake, isn't it? So you have to protect your own emotional and mental energy.
Yeah. You definitely have to communicate with them, but in a systemized way, not in a personalized way.
And as long as you've done everything you can, short of begging them, then when they go. You've got to just... Yeah.
And we don't lose many at all, but...
It took us about 3 years to lose our first one, and that was painful. Yeah. I remember it. I remember which one it was.
I think accepting that there's a small percentage, and add this into your numbers, that you are going to lose a percentage.
Yeah, exactly right.
Just we have an offboarding process, which allows them to come back and some new.
Yeah, offboarding is really important, isn't it?
My name's James, and I'm from James Kendall Estate Agents in Bedfordshire. I love the AJ Mastermind group, mainly because I get to meet with similar like-minded people, get to discuss our challenges that are similar, always come away with new ideas. It's about meeting with great like-minded people, and saw some familiar faces in the room that I knew, but equally, I came away feeling like I'd made a really good decision and had a really good impact on the business moving forward.
So there were the four C's: cash, communication, content, and conversion. This market response plan is designed to put you in control of your financial and business health. Because when you feel like you're in control, you portray confidence, positivity, and you just feel better. You enjoy coming into work more, and people can see that, your clients and your team. Your team and your clients will respond positively back to you. So if you'd like to get a hold of a copy of the market response plan, it's free 2024, all you need to do is click the link below or go to ajmastermind.co.uk/market-response-plan-spring24. If that's too long, don't worry. Just click the link in the show notes or wherever you're listening to this. It should be pretty obvious. And if you still can't find it, then send me or fill a message and we'll make sure we get back to you straight away with your own market response plan. Hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode.
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at Ashdown Jones HQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day.
And best of all, it's free.